I'm Paul Fredericks. I'm pastor from Prosser, Washington. And Mark is down at Prosser this morning. And they all are going to be praying for you because they knew I was coming up here. And they go, oh, we better be praying for you guys. So they will be praying for you. So it's kind of a significant thing for me personally to be able to be here with you this morning. Ellie and I, my wife over here, my beautiful wife, we've been here a couple times before. We came here for a dinner out or that night out that you guys do. We came for the weekend of the Word when Earl Palmer was here. But the other one that's significant for me was I was invited to come up here one other time. And it was to meet with the session of the church here. Room over there somewhere. And it was all about, are we going to do this eco thing? Are we going to move to this new denomination? And they had just great questions, all kinds of good questions about, well, if we do this, what about this and what about that? Usually you get questions like, eco, is that some kind of environmental thing? But no, you all had much better questions. And you made that move, which was a blessing to this denomination, because you guys are a great church. And my good friend Chet Dorsey knows that, and he's been here for a while. But it's significant for me, I guess, that maybe this is kind of full circle. You know, you're kind of thinking in your journey towards Jesus, do we do that denominational thing? And each of us is on a journey towards Jesus. And you're continuing that journey. This is the Lord's blessing. And I am so glad that I get to be a part of it and be able to speak to it. Let me pray for us, and then we'll look at God's Word together, please. Lord Jesus, we know that you are here. We can feel your presence. Lord, once again, we ask in humility, send the Holy Spirit. And Spirit of the living God, we ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds, have your way with us this morning, so we might hear what it is that you want to say to us together as a church, as a family of God, but also speak to each one of us individually. Help us to hear what it is that you want to say to each of us, because we trust that none of us are here by accident this morning, that you brought us here because there was something that you wanted to do. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Just a little bookkeeping thing. There's a little yellow sheet in your bulletins. This is something that I put out. It's something to help you if you want to dive in for your own personal study of the scripture. I provide a little kind of introduction to the passage, and then a translation, my translation of the passage. And then there's some questions that you can use to kind of dig in deeper. And then there's a section there how the passage teaches us to pray, because every time we read the Bible, it should teach us something about praying. And then at the end of it is something we're supposed to do because we read this passage. So you might use that for your own personal use, or in our church, our small groups use that for their study. So that's in there. The passage that Larry read for us this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to put yourself as the audience in that passage. Imagine this letter is being written to you. And so I want you to put yourself into their shoes. Imagine what the folks would be thinking, what they would be hearing, what they would be imagining as they heard this letter from Peter. Now, to understand it, and it's always really good to put yourself into the passage to understand it. But to understand these guys, the folks who are being written to, they have been dispersed. They are Christians who have been persecuted. They've run away. They've gone to move to Asia Minor, area of Turkey today, because they were persecuted for their faith. Imagine what they would feel like. What would you think if you were them? They've lost their homes. They don't know where they're going to go next. Yeah. There's a lot of uncertainty in their lives. And maybe that's something that you know about. There are all kinds of uncertainties in our lives. You know what? Medical things, personal things, job things. What's going to happen next, God? I don't know. Maybe that you're that way this morning. And maybe the Lord wants to say something to you. They probably are a very small group. People don't always realize this, but New Testament churches were roughly maybe 50 people, a lot of them, a whole bunch of little ones all over the place. They would be like neighborhood churches, and they'd meet in somebody's house. These folks are also folks that they've been through some tough stuff in life. They are not the upper echelons of society. Some of them were probably former slaves. Some of them are poor. They're broken. What, if you're in that kind of situation, what would you need to hear from God? What would be the words that you wanted to hear or you needed to hear? Let me read those words again. I'll get my Bible. Even though Larry did a great job. Yeah. Just put yourself in their shoes. Now listen. Listen to his words. But you are a chosen generation. Chosen for the high calling of royal priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. Chosen to be God's instruments and to make known the praises of him who called you out of darkness. They've come from dark places into his marvelous light. Once you were nobodies, but now you are God's somebodies. Love that. Once you were in need of mercy, now you have mercy. Loved ones, I am asking in the strongest terms possible that you, as aliens and strangers in the world, don't indulge those desires which destroy your soul. Live such exemplary lives among those who don't walk with Jesus that even though they speak evil against you, they may see how you live and instead choose to glorify God on the day he returns. Couple of things. He gives this church, losing it here. He describes that little church family, those groups, in a couple different ways. He gives four different ways. He says, you are a chosen generation, or people. And actually, that little phrase, people of God, We heard it actually in Jeremiah 30 that we used earlier in the service. It's a little phrase that comes again and again throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. You will be my people, and I will be your God. People of God, that was a term that Israel used because they were to be a doorway to God, so that others could come to know their Creator. He's reminding them, you are the people of God. You are my people. And then he goes on. You've been chosen not only as people, but you've been chosen for royal priestly work. In that time, and not unlike our times, royalty was something you were born into. These folks that are hearing this, they are not royalty. They have not been born into royalty. But he says, now you are part of the family of King Jesus. You are princes and princesses. Your status has changed. You know, if I could have, I'd bring you little crowns and little tiaras this morning. Your status has changed. C.S. Lewis does a wonderful job of drawing that out. Remember the Chronicles of Narnia? And the kids? They're just kids, right? They travel to a new land. A land that's just on the other side of the doorway, right? And what do they end up becoming? Kings and queens and princes and princesses. C.S. Lewis got it. That's what he's saying here. You are part of a royal family now. And then he adds another word in there. You're part of a royal family, a royal priesthood. In those times, priests were considered part of a very high culture. They had entry into the temple courts. They had entry into the place of God, where they stood between God and the people, leading people to God, teaching people, being the mediators. That's why we have in Jesus running into the Pharisees and Sadducees. They're kind of the rulers within Israel. They have a very high position. And he says to them, that's what you are now. Think of maybe the lowest kind of status of people in society or job-wise, and then you declare them, you are presidents of countries, you are CEOs of major corporations, you are the most important religious figures in the country. He shifts it to say, that's what you are. They experienced a massive, massive status change because of what the one and only holy God had done for them. You have experienced a massive status change because of what the one and only holy God has done for you. Peter wipes away any ideas of lineage or status and confers on them the highest status. The highest status known to people at that time. Kings and queens and priests. But he doesn't stop there. He says, you are chosen. You are chosen to be a holy people. Holiness has to do with righteousness, the justice of God. We are holy in God's eyes, because of what King Jesus has done for each one of us. And you know, that means that we're called to a higher standard. I had a friend one time who was, we were talking about people in the congregation and things that were going on. And he said, you know, he told somebody in his congregation one time, if you're going to follow Jesus, then follow Jesus. You know, sometimes we miss the fact that that's a pretty high calling. You're chosen. You're chosen to be a royal priesthood, kings and queens. You are chosen to be a holy people. You are chosen to be God's instruments. That's the other little phrase he uses. You and I are to make known the joy, the mercy, the compassion, the justice that belongs to Jesus and living according to his way. And then he says something that they would have perked their ears. He said, being aliens and strangers in the world. Think about that. These are people that are actually aliens and strangers in the world. They've left their homes. They've been pushed out. And he says, it's a good thing. That would be tough to hear, wouldn't it? The word he uses, paraoikos, which means a non-citizen or a foreigner. This world is not our home. There's an old saying, this world is a bridge. The wise man passes over it, but he will not build his house on it. We are here in this world because God has placed us here for a reason. But this isn't the end point. We're only here for a while. And, you know, I always think it's good to remember that we are preparing for a journey. It used to be that preachers would talk a lot about this life as preparation for the next. We don't hear that as much as we used to. And I think we've lost something with that. You know, when I go on a journey, there's all kinds of things that I get done. Just coming here, last night we stayed overnight in Moses Lake. So there was a whole bunch of things I needed to get done because, you know, I was going to be gone. You know what? Realizing that our time here is short does kind of put a motivation behind us to say, you know what? I've got things to do before I go. Peter takes what is a negative thing, strangers, foreigners, and he turns it into a positive. He says, you're not here for a while. You're only here for a bit. And for Christians, we all need to remember. We need to live in a different way. We need to be different and live in a different way that makes a difference in the world that we are in. That makes a difference in the world that we are in. He goes on and he says, live exemplary lives. Live a life worth imitating. Think about your own life. Have there been, and I know there have been, who have been the examples of faith for you in your journey with Jesus? Who have been those people that have been examples for you? I know for me, my father was an example of faith. I know that I had coaches in high school that were Christians, and they were examples of faith for me. Harvey Wellington, Ron Huntington. There was a man I went to school over in Austria where it was an outdoor school. The guy who led that was an Austrian guy, Mr. Kunzelman. And he saw something in me. And he took me on as a leader. Mr. Kunzelman has gone home to be with the Lord. But he was an example for me. Who are the examples for you in your life? Who have been those people that have showed you the journey of faith and how to live that? Now, you get to be those people. You get to be that example. By the power of God, Why is it important? Because Jesus is going to return. And when he returns, his way will be the way. There's going to be a giant reset of all creation. And there is no greater cause than the kingdom of God in our world today. The kingdom of God that you and I are to be examples of includes the highest and purest values of any causes. They are better than any political party, any government, any justice cause, any plan for your family, any plan for human fulfillment. The kingdom of God is bigger than that. And it's about God's work in your family, God's work in our society, in our world. You and I have been given a high calling because we are a chosen generation, because we are royalty, priesthood, priests and priestesses. We are called to be those examples in big ways and in small ways. And so I guess the question I leave with you this morning is, will you? Will you be that kind of example in your family, in your neighborhoods, in your places of work? Will people see Jesus in you? And it's kind of like this. You get a free gift. It's like getting a membership to a fitness club. It's a great thing, but you know what you got to do with that free membership? You got to use it. You know, if you never show up at the fitness club, what was it worth? You have been given a great gift in Jesus Christ, a gift of new life. Go live it. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we give you thanks that you have called us to be a chosen people, that you have chosen us to be royalty, a priesthood. You have chosen us to be your people. And that we can, by your power, we can live lives that are worth imitating. And we know that there are times that in our weakness, we need your grace. But we trust. We trust on this journey towards you that you will empower us each day to be the people that you've called us to be by your grace. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.